Welcome to the Willie Jackerson Experiment. I'm your host, the one, the only, Willie Jackerson. All right. So I have a really awesome episode for you guys this week. I decided to cover the Baltimore bridge collapse, and there's a lot of misinformation swirling around, a lot of conspiracy theory. I guess one of the pilots was Ukrainian, and then I guess one of the other conspiracy theories is that China actually had control of it and actually remote controls, guided it to damage the bridge. So I really appreciate you checking out this podcast this week. I'm actually using a guy, Jeff Ostroff. I'm going to try to grab some clips from Jeff, kind of get Jeff's take on it. And I'm also going to throw in, as always, Metal Trump from Lars von Retriever. So check out the Lars von Retriever channel. And then I always throw in some stuff from 331 E-Rock, Frog Leap Studios. I really like Leo's stuff. So I really appreciate everyone joining every week and checking these out. I really couldn't tell you what I think personally. I think it was kind of a tragic accident, and it amazed me, like, looking at the video, like how fast it came down. I mean, that thing looked like it was just hanging on by a thread. But at the same time, that boat was carrying 100,000 tons. So, it's pretty amazing to see it, and then the boat actually losing power. Why did that happen and stuff? So this week I'm gonna kind of dig into it, try to see if my friends over there, Jeff Ostroff and 2-Bit Da Vinci, if those guys could maybe come up with some theories, as well as other people that have different takes on it, and kind of trying to stop the misinformation train. And so I'll try to leave the links and the descriptions of the audio that I use so that you can go over and subscribe to their channel and check out for yourself. But I really appreciate everyone joining every week. It's always fun doing these, and always remember, make every day an easy day. Peace.
You take a billion there, and put him in control. Watch them become a god. Watch people's heads they roll. Build a wall. A wall. Just like the Piper led rats through the streets. We dance like marionettes, swaying to the symphony of destruction.
Will make America metal again. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Boom! Did a cargo ship intentionally crash into the Key Bridge in Baltimore, and how is disinformation spreading because of it? Sorry for the background. I'm in Tampa right now. Well, you know why I'm here. Let's get started. On March 26th at around 1:30 a.m., a container ship crashed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. This is the bridge that carries I-695. The bridge collapsed. A few cars were on the bridge. They went into the water, and the divers are still looking for people. Video was released of the incident. But this video isn't about the incident. It's about the words, time-lapse footage of the Baltimore Bridge incident. Notice how the ship at 11 seconds abruptly changes course to slam into the bridge. Now, if you actually watch the time-lapse video, it seems like the ship loses power right around 7 seconds into the video. Now, I'm really not up on maritime stuff. Go watch Sal from What's Going On with Shipping for that. But if all the lights go out on a ship, you might assume that ship has lost power. If that ship is out of power, I would assume it's probably lost maneuvering capabilities. I mean, maybe there's backups, but if a ship loses power seconds before a crash, in the intelligence community, this is what we call a clue. Now, I noticed that many of the tweets about this event had the same exact text. Time-lapse footage of the Baltimore Bridge accident. Notice how the ship at 11 seconds abruptly changes course to slam into the bridge. I also noticed that a lot of the accounts using this text seem to have Indian names. And I think I figured out why, but I'm going to get to that. So I loaded the phrase at 11 seconds abruptly changed course into Cyabra, which is a social media threat detection tool. Now, this social media disinformation campaign is still in its infancy. As of right now, this incident happened about 10 hours ago, so we don't have a lot of data on it, but we're already seeing inauthentic actors spout this phrase. And according to Cyabra, 28% of the tweets relating to this were AI generated. So they're just taking something that's popular and repeating it to increase engagement. It appears that this whole speculation started from one tweet by Abhijit Iyer Mitra, who looks like some kind of Indian defense analyst, and he has a lot of followers, at least on Twitter. And he didn't add the power outage thing until 2 hours after his initial tweet. But by now it's too late. Accounts are already repeating the initial conspiracy theory text without attributing him, or in some cases they're just putting their own spin on things. Now, since Abhijit is a real person and popular, this is like conspiracy theorist gold. Now people can take this text and modify it, and I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of today, we start seeing Russian accounts start to claim that this was actually an attack by Ukraine on American infrastructure because America notified Russia of the impending Moscow theater attack and Ukraine is angry at America. So because this seed has already been planted, the Twitter algorithm knows that this is a popular person and a popular topic, so we get to see add-on lies to rocket it straight to the top of the algorithm. You know, when you have almost 250,000 followers, you kind of have a responsibility to get things right before using your influence to shape people's opinion. Your creation can become a Frankenstein's monster that will be hijacked by people with less than pure intentions. Special thanks to Cyabra for letting me use their software. Check your sources, everybody. Thanks for watching, and go buy a t-shirt.
Hey, everyone. New Ryan Macbeth t-shirts and hoodies from Bunker Branding are available. I'm going to get the HIMARS shirt. What are you going to get, Donald?
The Patriot shirt, because I'm a patriot. It's the best shirt, the biggest shirt. Make 14 tangos great again.
What are you going to get, Barack?
Let me be clear. I'm going to get a Drone Sweet Drone shirt. What about you, George?
I'm going to get a Trident Missile shirt because they're weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, I'm going to get a Landmine Marker shirt because my presidency always blew up in my face.
I'll tell you what I'm going to get.
Ronald Reagan, but you're dead.
I came back to tell you that no matter our politics, we're all Americans. And we should buy Ryan's hoodies and t-shirts because they pay for the stock footage and licenses that allow him to make awesome content. So come on down to Bunker Branding and buy a Ryan Macbeth t-shirt, or I'll start the bombing in 5 minutes.
There once was a ship that put to sea, and the name of the ship was the Bailey of Tea. The winds blew up her bow, dipped down. Sugar and tea and rum. One day when the
Collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore on March 26, 2024, left everyone in shock as the mega container ship Dali lost power while leaving port and crashed into one of the bridge's pillars, bringing down the entire continuous truss span of this Baltimore bridge.
We are Maryland tough, and we are Baltimore strong.
The Key Bridge was a critical throughway bridge connecting the north side of Baltimore to the south side along the I-695 highway as part of the Baltimore Beltway. The collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge also closed off access to the port. Now several ships are trapped inside the port and they can't go anywhere until they clean out that opening of the port. And then there's ships that are stuck outside the port over here that can't get into the port. And they're all going to be stranded for God knows how long, how many days or even weeks. So today we're going to examine videos of the collapse and I'm going to walk you through it and show you more of what's going on than you probably saw on the media, because they usually show you just like right when it happened. I'm going to show you what was leading up to it and how it happened. And I want to show you deficiencies in the design of this bridge that may have also helped lead to this collapse. So, you know, I sort of have some of my own suspicions here. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I do everything based on facts. But I am still a little bit suspicious about something here. And I know what you're saying. Come on, Jeff, you're just being overly suspicious here.
You've got nothing to be suspicious about. I get paid to be suspicious when I got nothing to be suspicious about.
But I suspect here that the collapse of this Francis Scott Key Bridge here is not entirely the fault of the boat. I'm going to show you that here. Now take a look at the bow here. Look how it's just torn apart on the front there. Looks like a big gouge was taken out of it. It'll be a miracle if this boat would ever be usable again. We're also going to look at all the questions that we may be thinking about. Hey, what about protection on the bridge? How is a boat able to just crash right into that pillar and take the whole bridge down like that? When I first woke up and saw this video from the news, I was thinking this before the bridge even hit the water. How? So now when I go here to marinetraffic.com and I zoom into the Baltimore area, here's the Patapsco River. Here's the port back over here. And as we zoom in, they're still showing the boat right there. There it gives the name and everything. Dali, position received a minute ago. So when I use the pass track feature, it shows where it left. So you can see the boat was facing this way here. And this is the track that it took when it left the harbor. It turned around here. But remember, that video kind of shows that it was without power somewhere around here. And then the lights came back on again momentarily right before it hit the bridge. So I'll see if I can animate it here because I don't have the professional plan here on marine traffic. So there it is leaving the port and it turns around and it's coming. Now watch as it veers off a little bit. See, boom, right at the end there. So somewhere around here is where it must have lost its power, going at about 8 knots, and then it just veered off course right there. And again, I don't have the paid plan, so it cannot show me all of the names of the vessels around it here. And it's getting further and further off course. I'm going to jump ahead just a frog here. All right, so far it's been about 3 minutes, based on my estimation, where it got off course about back here. So let's see how much longer until it hits the bridge. So it looks like they had maybe 4 minutes or so. Yeah, so it looks like about 3.5 minutes or so is all the notice that they had. Okay, now I have a more thorough video here for you than what they showed on the news, and I'm going to show you step by step everything that was going on here. So let me start the action here, and here's the bridge. You can see the traffic going across it. This green light's right here. This represents the center of the shipping channel. So the boats have to aim right through the center of the shipping channel right here. All you got to do is point your bow and head straight through it. I mean, even Stockton Rush could handle that there with his little PlayStation controller. But here's the boat approaching over here on the left. And it's pretty nerve-wracking to see that, oh, this car's coming, and you think, oh, it's going to happen any second now. But this boat is actually about 4 minutes away right now. So let's see what's going on. Everything looks fine on the boat. All the lights are on at this point, and there's still traffic going over. And you see these yellow flashing lights? These are the vehicles here from the construction company that was there with some reports said that they had about 8 employees there working on the bridge at this point. They were repairing potholes. So here I were at about 12430, and somewhere around here is where it's going to lose power, right there. See, it just went all black right there. So it's got no power right now, and they're probably panicking because that's every pilot's worst nightmare, is you have no power, no steering. And by now they're probably on the phone calling Mayday, and they're calling to the whoever, the authorities, to get the bridge shut down. So I'm going to overlay the audio that I found from the emergency dispatch. And notice there's no smoke coming out yet. And the call probably would have come in right around here, I would imagine, at this point.
I need one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we gotta stop all traffic.
Yep, we're all on the route to the south side.
So remember, it's been about a minute now. They've had no power for approximately coming up on a minute or so. Right, see how they're slowly coming on as the emergency backup generator kicks in? Because it's required by international marine law that all boats have to have the backup generator.
I'm holding traffic now. I was dragging, but we stopped prior to the bridge, so I'll have all out-of-loop traffic stopped.
10-4, is there a crew working on the bridge right now?
K-9-1, but they're out.
Good.
All right, so assuming it's back on, but we don't know if the engine has propulsion or anything, and I can see a little bit of a turn to the right.
Let me stop traffic on this site right now.
Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. I'm not sure where, there's a crew up there.
So we're still 2 minutes away, and the police are scrambling right now to close the other end of the bridge. Looks like they haven't done it yet because there's still cars coming across. There's a truck right here. And, but look at the smoke that is now pouring out of the back of the boat.
We might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
10-4, once the other unit gets here, I'll ride up on the bridge. I have all inner loop.
And now you can see it's turning more and more towards the pillar.
Traffic stopped at this time. Once you get here, I'll go grab the workers on the Key Bridge and then stop the outer loop.
We are now about 90 seconds away from contact with the bridge. So this guy is one of the luckiest guys in Baltimore right now. He probably doesn't even know it. But I wonder if the ship was blasting their horn, and I wonder if any of the drivers on there could have heard it. So at this point now, it looks like the boat is just headed straight for us. It's coming right towards this pillar. I mean, how unfortunate of all places for it to lose power. If it had just waited another couple of minutes before it lost power. This is just like the Titanic. Had the Titanic turned just a couple of seconds earlier, they would have missed the iceberg. These are the last two vehicles that went across the bridge. So by now, the police have closed off the other end of the bridge here. And you notice there's no traffic coming this way either. So they must have closed off the south side quicker. These two guys are the luckiest two people in Baltimore right now, because virtually 30 seconds later, after crossing this bridge safely, it's going to collapse. Keep in mind that construction vehicles are still sitting right here. So the police were supposed to get up there to talk to them, but I guess they just haven't gotten there in time. So right around now, in the next 5 or 10 seconds, you're going to see the ship strike the pillars right here. Right there. Boom. See, there's all the water spraying up and it's hit the concrete. The concrete is sort of still okay, but right there it's collapsing. See? And down comes the entire bridge. So now let me add the rest of the other audio dispatch that we found as well.
213 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Simple dispatch is direct.
That's correct.
This time.
Do we know if all traffic will stop?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down. We're going to have to get somebody on the other side, the Anne Arundel County MSP, to get up here and stop traffic coming northbound on the T Bridge.
C-13, I'm holding all traffic northbound.
Six to communications. Are you advising there's 13 people in the water?
Possibly 13 people in the water at this time. Our construction crew.
Okay. Let's go ahead and special call Baltimore County Marine Unit 269. And Marine Unit 216, notify Anne Arundel County to also stand by for their boat.
Now here's just a few seconds of the fire department dispatch.
Okay. Unit responding on rescue alarm I-695. Be advised, the entire Key Bridge has now collapsed into the water. The entire Key Bridge has now collapsed into the water. Proceed with caution. It's 152. Units responding on rescue alarm Key Bridge. No units access the Key Bridge. I repeat, no units access the Key Bridge. 159.
Extra kudos to that harbor pilot or whoever it was that picked up the phone. They kept their cool during the emergency and they knew to call out that mayday and have the bridge closed. If these guys had picked up that phone just 30 seconds later, those two cars would be in the bottom of that river right now. So this bridge collapse in Baltimore has too many similarities to another high-profile bridge collapse that happened in Florida when I was a teenager in high school. So I am, of course, referring to the 1980 collapse of the Florida Sunshine Skyway Bridge over Tampa Bay. So under very similar circumstances, after being hit by a freighter, boom, bridge collapsed and like 35 people died. And it seems to me, folks, that the major lessons from that bridge collapse were not learned here and were not translated up into Baltimore. And I think that the ports all around the country and maybe even the world should take a second look at all of their bridges and what sort of protection they have. So mark my words, folks, I think you're going to start to see here families of the victims here are going to be suing anybody and everybody, from the port authorities to probably the MDOT, who knows, everything, everybody that in the way there, because I think the investigation is going to start pointing fingers that somehow along the way, the pillars of this bridge should have been protected with these big concrete dolphins. Okay, so this is specifically what I'm talking about. Here is the Sunshine Skyway Bridge here. This is the old one, and here's where it collapsed. And then this is the new one that they built in its place. And as you can see here, these are not oil tanks. These are concrete dolphins, and these are put here specifically as large bumpers to protect these columns of the bridge here in case any ships should come and run into them. So here, like, these two will protect the two main towers, and then they have like a little beachhead, sort of a bumper here around the towers, that it looks to me like if a boat was going to crash into them, they would probably just beach right here. And so I hope they did all their math and thinking on this one and made it correct. Now, I found another great example of a bridge that was well protected. So turning our attention to Philadelphia for all of our friends up north there. Here you have on the Delaware River, many of you probably know and you've probably traveled on it many times, is the Betsy Ross Bridge. But how many of you know that they also installed these concrete dolphins there too? See that? So you can see the Betsy Ross Bridge is a much smaller bridge than the Baltimore Bridge, but yet look how much better it's buttressed here. It's got protection all over the place for all of their columns. And yet you're telling me Baltimore, which is one of the largest ports in the United States, it brings in more cars from international markets than any other port in the US, and they didn't have any protection there? It's just mind-boggling. So I made up this diagram here to show you, based on the photo of this bridge. You can see there's no concrete dolphins anywhere. There's absolutely no protection. And you can see even at the bottom here, any boat could come right up here and slam into these pillars right here, and it could take the whole bridge down because this is part of the superstructure. So you see, a continuous truss bridge like this, it is a decent design, but the one Achilles tendon of it, if you compromise the superstructure here and it starts to come down, the continuous truss becomes a continuous collapse, and it will just start at one end and go all the way to the other, as I'm going to show you here in the video. Okay, now let's look here as the collapse begins to initiate right here. Look at the far right of the bridge. You'll see it just lightly lift up a little bit and set back down. And now you can see the truss is collapsing from left to right, and it's going to tear right here at this big second tower. But watch this right-hand side. So as soon as it tears off there on the left, you'll see the right-hand part of the bridge just dip down like a seesaw, because there's your fulcrum right here in the middle. And then once it gets down to enough of an angle and the contacts get sheared off, now you're going to see it just slide down into the water. So in my opinion, this bridge collapse up in Baltimore could have been avoided. It just seems like they didn't learn any lessons from past collisions. So anybody that we lost in this accident, you know, that didn't have to be. They would still be here today. Or maybe if the power had failed, maybe 3 minutes sooner on that boat, and the cops would have had more time to get up to where the construction workers were, they could have warned them to get off the bridge. Okay, now another thing that I have a problem with too is, why is that channel so narrow? The space between those two sets of pillars across that main truss portion of the bridge, why is that so small? So what I did was I set it up here and compared it to the Golden Gate Bridge up top. And this is the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I tried to make it somewhat to scale, so it should be fairly close. But you can see the reports that I've seen said 1,200 feet distance between these. And that, I don't think, is enough. It just seems way too narrow. Why couldn't they have made it bigger? Maybe just done a suspension bridge there. Because if you look at the Golden Gate Bridge, that's 1,280 meters from the North Tower to the South Tower. And by the way, this is land that they have drawn here. This is incorrect, because there's actually water on both sides of the towers too. But anyway, but you can see the distance is 1,280 meters, which is about 4,100 feet, a much, much larger distance. And I'm not saying you need to go that high. Can you imagine if we just had maybe double the distance that we had? Instead of it going between these two pillars, what if they had it just going between this one and way over here? That would have given them a lot more margin of error. So we go over here to Equasis, where you can look up information on different boats. And we pull up the dolly right there. And you got ship info. There's all sorts of overview that it gives you, management detail, whatever, classifications, information. But I want to see inspections, because I want to see where they failed inspection. And the first one that I know of was when they were in the port of Chile at San Antonio. Now, that's not San Antonio, Texas. That is San Antonio, Chile. And this was June 27th of last year, 2023. There was nothing here on these inspections, but this one, I think the initial inspection, was it this one? Yeah, they found one deficiency. See that number of deficiencies? So if we go to look at what the deficiencies are per category, it says right here, propulsion and auxiliary machinery. The deficiency was the gauges, thermometers, etc. And there was one deficiency. So they weren't very clear. There's nothing else that elaborates what was wrong. Does it mean that they have gauges and thermometers that were not working? Or did they have gauges and thermometers that were missing? So this part here, at least, we don't really know. So let's go back to inspections. And I want to go back. I know there was something in 2016 on this boat, because I searched through a lot of these already. And if you go back to 2016 right here, see where it says Belgium in Antwerp, November 7th, 2016, there's a more detailed inspection. So that piqued my interest when I saw that. And there was a deficiency here. And this was when they had an accident with it, and it ran into something when it was coming into port. And there, it was later ruled as an error on the master slash pilot of the boat. But here is the deficiencies. It says structural conditions, hull damage impairing the seaworthiness, defect hold. So I guess it means it was a big hole somewhere. So we don't know if this may have caused some latent damage later on that maybe led to the ship losing power. We simply don't know. Now here's some video from that 2016 accident in Antwerp, where you can see the dolly had accidentally backed up into the concrete wall at the dock there. And so you wonder how the pilot could make a mistake like that when he's supposed to be the local expert and knows how everything is supposed to work there. It's in perfect weather. There was no storms or anything. So hard to figure out what was going on. And again, we don't know if it caused any latent damage to any of the equipment or the engine or anything that may have played a role in the collapse here in 2024 of the Francis Scott Key Bridge up in Baltimore. Okay. Now you probably knew this was coming. What about the Golden Gate Bridge? I'm concerned about that bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco doesn't have dolphins. Hey, but it does have whales. Check this one out. If you look, there's not much protection at the north and south towers at the base. There's some concrete there, but I don't think it would withstand a major container ship colliding with it. In fact, here's one of the best pictures I've ever taken in my life when I was in San Francisco of the Golden Gate Bridge. And to get it on a crystal clear day like this was incredible. It was June 21st, 1997, the longest day of the year. And I took this picture with a Hasselblad camera and a slide film 2.25 inch by 2.25 inch frame. No light meter, I just guessed the exposure and got it right. Well, I'm going to continue to monitor everything here for you on the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. And in the meantime, you can check this video out right here, which is on the FIU Bridge collapse. That was one of my best engineering videos yet. So thank you so much for tuning in again today and stay tuned for the next one. And we'll see you on that next one.
Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip?
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already, mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking now, everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over now. Snap back to reality, yo, there goes gravity. Yo, there goes gravity, joke, his own gravity. Won't give up, that is he know, he won't have it, he knows. He's all back to these ropes, he don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's broke, he's so stagnant, he knows. When he goes back to his mold alone, that's when it's back to the lab again. Yo, this whole rhapsody, better go capture this moment. Hope it don't go better. Better lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance.
all the links in the video description.